You should find an outline in your bulletin. The top should say, Power from God, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Power from God. All those verses will appear right at the beginning of the outline for you. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word together. God, our Father, we do not apologize for looking again to Your Word. We acknowledge that it is powerful. That Your Word is powerful and effective, sharper than a double-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit. I pray that we would consider these words from Your apostle who was taught directly by the Lord Jesus Christ. Such wisdom here, we pray that we could embrace it. We ask for Your help through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. It was an interesting day. We were all at work, and we were talking with one another. We were walking around leisurely. We were doing anything and everything but work. And it actually went on for several hours, and we weren't concerned, even if the president would walk in and see us doing absolutely nothing. We weren't concerned at all. It was kind of enjoyable. I ate some of my lunch. I talked with some of my coworkers. There was people standing outside. It was just great, really. And eventually, we got to go home. And the reason behind it all was, of course, the power was out. And where I work, you can't do a whole lot of anything when the power goes out. You know, your computers are down, obviously. So that pretty much wrecks what the office people are doing. We have remote overhead cranes that can lift, you know, 10, 25 tons. So, you know, we can't use those. My machine entirely runs on electricity and compressed air, but you can't run the air compressor without the electricity. It has various power tools that are all useless to us and doing our job. I mean, we use them occasionally. We have a propane-powered forklift and a diesel-powered one. So we could drive those around. But again, you know, without the power, we're not getting anything done. And you don't think about, really, you don't think about the source of your power very much, really, until it goes out. And that's when you say, oh, we don't have power. Like, we could do this here if we had power, but we don't have power. So that poses a problem. So you can't do whatever it is you're trying to do. So what do you end up doing? You get out the flashlights. You get out the candles. Maybe you make a fire in the fireplace. You start to get creative. Because the power goes out and all of a sudden, you can't do what you normally do. You know, it's obvious that this light is plugged in. And it's obvious there's an uninterrupted connection between this cord of this light and the source of the power. It has to be an unbroken chain all the way back to the source of the power for that light to work. Paul understands this idea. And he's going to talk about this power that comes from God. And we're going to look at this together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Well, that's a really loaded statement there. But it's interesting because the same God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness." Well, most commentators believe that He's pointing there back to Genesis chapter 1. I'll just read it for you. It's not in your outline, but Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening and morning the first day. Now, I've read that verse hundreds of times probably. I've heard it read. It still blows me away because when God said that, we're actually not told that He made the stars until, I think, day 4. So I honestly can't explain what's happening there, but God said, "Let there be light." What was the source of the light? Some have argued that it was just God Himself. We're told that heaven doesn't need any light. God Himself provides the light. There's always daytime. I don't think you'll be sleeping in heaven. There's just light there because God is there. And where God is, He lives an unapproachable light. Not sure what that was. That wasn't for effect. But He lives in this unapproachable light. And you can't go near it. You can't look at it. You can't do anything but be terrified that there's a God who part of who He is just light. So this God said, this God, the same God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light to shine in our heart. It's weird because, you know, I can't see your heart right now. So obviously this is like, it's a metaphor. It's a description of what God has done. It's not visible light that we're talking about, but you can still see it. And somehow, this has to do with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Which, that's hard to explain, but I guess it's when you run into Christ, there's a light that appears. And it shines out of your heart. And I can't entirely explain it to you. But Paul here says, it's similar to when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And we're told that that's the first thing He did. He separated the light from the darkness. And that picture goes on and on and on through the Bible. There's light and there's darkness. People love darkness more than light. So they won't come into the light because they're afraid that their sins will be exposed. That's the Gospel of John, first chapter. It's important to know that before this chapter here in 2 Corinthians, Paul was speaking about the gospel is veiled. We kind of talked about this like 3 months ago. The gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, or Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as our Lord, as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. So Satan has blinded people so they can't see the light. There's a whole lot of people that fall into this category. They're just apathetic to this whole story about Christ. They just really don't care. Please go away with your Jesus stuff and I'll just live my life. And it sounds nice. It actually sounds convenient. It sounds like you'll have some more time to do what you want, except there's only one name through whom you can be saved. Peter said in the book of Acts, and that's the name of Jesus. You can't be saved any other way, so you have to call on Jesus. And that's, I think at that point, that's when this light in your heart begins to shine. And Paul goes further. He says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. This is great. I was really helped by the commentator here. These were common in the marketplace. They were little clay pots. And they were lamps. And they were sold at a cheap price. But unlike a metal lamp, which could be repaired, or glass ones, that could be melted down and the material reused, once broken, the little clay pot was just thrown out. It was just cheap. It was a cheap pot. It was a paper plate. It was a styrofoam cup. You didn't worry about it. It got broke. Well, you got 100 more in the basket, right? So it's no big deal. But look what's Paul saying here. He's saying that we are like these little clay pots. We have the treasure, which I believe the treasure is what he just said. The light that's shining in our heart. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the treasure that's shining in our heart. And we're just a little clay pot. We're just a little clay lamp. And we just kind of provide a place for the light to shine. A receptacle or a container. And he says this, the earth, the clay pot which the treasure is contained is the human body, subject to decay, vulnerable to disease and injury. It is in ultimate terms powerless. This is not accidental, but deliberate, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. The power to lift man out of his powerlessness in the face of suffering, decay, and death does not come from within himself. It only comes from God. Man and woman are like a jar in order that the all-surpassing power might be from God and not ourselves. Apparently, part of God's plan is that the power is not from us. Had this priceless treasure been contained in a strong and permanent body, it would have proved a fatal combination for proud and sinful man. We see this a lot. You know, people who are strong, people who are wealthy, people who are successful, tend to just say, you know, I got this covered. I have everything it takes. Where's the source of the power? We can be tricked into thinking that we're the source of the power. That we're really strong. That we're really successful. It's an illusion. Because we can get sick. Because we can fail. Because we can do irreversible damage to ourselves. Paul was going down a path at one point in his life, and he was persecuting the church. He was quite happy about this. He had authority from the chief priests. And he was going around putting Christians in prison. And suddenly, he says in Acts 26, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We fell on the ground. I heard a voice to me saying in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, Lord, who are you? I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See, it was part of Paul's job. And I would argue it's part of our job. It's not that Paul has the power to open people's eyes. Remember Satan blinds people's eyes from seeing the light of the gospel? It's not that we have the power actually to do that. We're not stronger than Satan is. But when we do the work God has for us, God opens the eyes of blind people. It's a miracle, really. It's something God does. He takes those who are in the power of darkness, who are under the power of darkness, and he transforms them into servants of the light. So beautiful when that happens. When you see somebody who's an absolute addict, just strung out on drugs all the time, God gets a hold of their life. It's a radical change. You see someone who's involved in gangs, who's in prison, turns their life around, following after Jesus. Someone who's living in the darkness, now living in the light. And it's really God who does it. And we know this because Paul talks earlier in Corinthians. And he says this, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. Each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. I wonder if you have a garden. I wonder if you've put some stuff in the ground. You've got some seeds. And you've taken care to get some good soil. And you've put some water on that stuff. And you start to see them come out through the dirt. I mean, can you explain it? Everything that that plant needs is contained in that seed. You know, the biggest trees that you've ever seen started with a seed. All the stuff that that tree needed when it got 300 feet tall was in there. It was all in the seed. I can't explain it. Other than God makes it grow. But you can't force it to grow. You can't say, well, I planted 25 seeds, I'm going to have 25 crops. Because only one of them will come up, right? And you're like, what happened to the other 25? Like, what? I can't explain why they didn't work. This wicked a child, they grow up. And can you explain it? At some point, they stop growing. And some people are tall, some people are short. Why is that? It's all in there. It's built into the DNA. It's built into the fabric. God never makes a mistake. He always says, I made you exactly the way I wanted you. So you never let someone else tell you, well, you're no good. Or you know, you're strange. You don't look funny. You're not the same as everyone else. Well, that was God's plan. You can talk to Him. He's the one who made me. He made me the way He wanted to make me. He doesn't make mistakes. But He makes things grow. He has a purpose for every little thing. All the things about you that people think is weird, maybe. That people are like, yeah, I don't really like that about you. I am who I am. So we have to think about the source of the power. We usually don't think about that source until the power goes out. And then we're like, oh, there's a problem with the connection. Somehow these wires are not reaching back to the source. Therefore the power is disconnected. And now my life is much harder. I have to do all kinds of things I didn't normally do now. Until the power is restored. And then I think he just gives an example of that in verse 8. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And that's such an encouragement. I think you could probably fit into one of those categories. I think we all do right now. Just in some way, in some form in your life, you're hard-pressed. You're feeling a lot of pressure. And it may be all around you. It may be, like, you may feel like you're surrounded by this pressure. But you're not crushed. You're still actually alive. All the pressure is not crushing you. You're perplexed. You're like, oh man, I don't know what to do. This is just really difficult. But you're not to the point of despair. You still have hope. You're persecuted. Now these people are relentless. They won't shut up. They won't be quiet. They just keep hounding you. Why are you so different? But you're not abandoned. Which is great. The Christian can never be alone. It's not possible. You're struck down. You know, struck down. Whatever that looks like. But you're not destroyed. And it hurts to be struck down. And it happens for all kinds of reasons. Not destroyed. There's that little ray of hope in each of these. There's that. And I think what Paul really is saying, like, were it not for this power from God, I would be destroyed. Were it not for God, I would be abandoned. Were it not for God, I would certainly be in despair. Were it not for God, I would be crushed by this. But I'm not. He's saying you have to think about the source of the power. And it's not you, by the way. It's encouraging to me. Because there's not many times I feel very powerful. Plenty of times I feel like a less than powerful communicator. Plenty of times I feel like a less than powerful parent. Plenty of times I feel like a less than powerful church member. That's okay though. Because I have to think about the source of the power. And if you're in doubt about if you're in doubt about the power of God, you simply need to look at the universe and say, how did that happen? How big is it? How many stars are there? They're burning hydrogen and other gases. They're just consuming fires. Just go through the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, and look at what God was doing. Providing the needs of people from some fish and some loaves. Parting the waters of a sea so people could go through on dry ground. Sending fire from heaven. And burning up the altar and the water and the sacrifice and everything. God. All the plagues of Egypt. There's real power there. And it's the source of the power. And we go back to the source. We sang it earlier this morning. We can let it be a prayer. I am weak. But you're strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Let me walk close to the source of the power. And maybe some of it I can share. Some of that power that's infinite, by the way. That's inexhaustible. That's unexplainable power. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we acknowledge that we are frail. There's all kinds of danger that could wipe us out. There's all kinds of things we cannot do. There's all kinds of power that we wish we had, but we don't. But we have access to the source of power. Please just connect us to the source. Not that we might become great, but that we might make your name great. Not that we might receive glory, but that you might receive glory. That your name would be great in all the earth. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.